Let's get right into our message this morning. I have kind of a long one. I'm going to get down with it this morning. You'll turn your Bibles to the first book of the Bible, which is Genesis, over to the fifth chapter, and scroll down to the 24th verse. And we see the Lord talking about a man named Enoch. As he goes through the descendants of Seth, he comes up to Enoch. Not a lot said about Enoch in the Bible, except we do know this of Enoch. It says in verse 24, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. What a blessing. Blessing in so many ways. You know, fears me that a lot of Christians aren't paying attention anymore. Aren't paying attention to the scriptures, aren't paying attention to the Lord, aren't paying attention to the times, and they are falling away from the truth of God's word. Jesus told the 10 virgins to have their lamps trimmed, and 5 did and 5 didn't. But we need to have our lamps trimmed. We need to always, every day, be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord told Enoch here, or said of Enoch here, that he walked with God. I tell you what, I don't know. A lot of people have said a lot of things about me. Some good, some bad, some very good, and some very awful, but for God to tell you that you have walked with Him must be an astounding compliment. You know, we look forward to when we go into judgment, Jesus saying, good and faithful servant, job well done, don't we? We hope that's the case, don't we? We try, and we hope, and we pray. The things we do right, we do correct. The things we believe are right and correct. When God says Enoch walked with God, we must ask, how did he walk with God? A lot of people these days claim to walk with God. The vast majority of those that claim to walk with God doesn't even go to church. The vast majority of those that claim to walk with God don't even read their Bible. Vast majority of them don't even care anymore. That's the times we live in. Just a few years ago in my lifetime, I'm only about to be 66, in my lifetime, we used to have churches pretty full. People look forward to going to worship the Lord in the house of God. People love to sing praises unto the Lord. They love to do solos. They love to do duets. They love to do trios and quartets. They love to do things for the Lord. So they do things for the church. They do things for people in the church. They do things for their pastor. They show a lot of great love toward all of them. You don't see that much anymore. Enoch was taken by God. Then he walked with God. And others say that Enoch's life was filled with walking with God. I go with the latter part. Enoch didn't walk with God because God took him. Enoch walked with God while he was on earth. All of us are going to walk with the Lord, aren't we? If we know the Lord Jesus Christ, won't we? Yes, we will. We'll walk with Jesus. We'll stand with Jesus. We'll sing with Jesus. We'll be with Jesus for eternity. Wherever he is, we will be there. We're his. We're wrapped in him. But if I understand the scripture correctly, Enoch walked with God, and that's why God took him. And then Enoch walked no more on the earth. That's what scripture says, isn't it? So he walked with God. God took him. Then he walked no more on the earth. He was happy to walk with the Lord in heaven too. Let's look at Noah. And Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We may ask, why did Noah find this grace in God's eyes? God said in verse 9 of Genesis 6, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and a perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Perfect doesn't mean he never sinned, he never failed. Perfect doesn't mean he never didn't do anything right, or something's right. Perfect means he was complete as he could be as a Christian. Yes, we sin. We're sinners by nature, aren't we? But we should not allow the sins that we have committed ever, and even now, to affect our walk with the Lord. When you're walking down the road and you hit a root on a tree or something and you fall flat on your face, what do? You don't just say, "Ow, that hurt." You get up and you walk again. That's what we do as Christians. That's what Enoch did. That's what Noah did. So we see these two men, Enoch and Noah, was shown great grace from God. One was taken without death, and the other survived the flood with his family. His family was blessed because he walked with God and Noah. God doesn't say that his family walked with God. I'm sure they probably did. But God says that Noah walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Why? Why them? Why both walked with God? Now let's look at Father Abraham. God said of Abraham in Genesis 17, if you'll turn over a few chapters, verse 1, and Abraham, in verse 1 he says, and Abraham, when he was 99 years old, the Lord spared Abram and said unto him, I am the mighty God, walk before me. He didn't just say, walk with me. He said, Abraham, you walk with me. You walk before me. Be thou perfect. Walk before me and be perfect. Be complete. You say, well, that's not the same thing. Well, it most certainly is. Walking before the Lord is to walk before his presence. And walking with God is to walk side by side with God and in lockstep with God. Later in chapter 24 of Genesis, I'm not going there, God speaks of God's 24, chapter 24 speaks of God, the Lord before whom I walk. Abraham said. The meaning, God is whom I walk in, as Enoch walked with God, as Noah walked with God, the same thing with Abraham here. Great men in this life walk with God. They don't walk partially with God, they walk complete in God. Perfect means complete, and that's what they did. Their life was dedicated to the Lord. Their walk in life wasn't dedicated to their family, wasn't dedicated to this world, wasn't dedicated to the things around us, wasn't dedicated trying to make and survive and supply and everything else all we could for our families. Walking with the Lord is walking with the Lord. Never sacrificing our walk with the Lord. If we want blessings of God, and wasn't Enoch blessed? He was taken without death. Noah, his family was blessed with grace because of his walk, and they were saved from the flood. Abraham, look at the status that God gave him. He's the father of many nations. When we walk with God, when we don't sacrifice our walk, and we walk with God, God's always going to bless us. You say, well, God blesses me every day. Well, he does. He blesses all of us, doesn't he? But God will bless us more and more and more if we walk correctly with him. In 1 John chapter 1, where we're going next. So if you want the blessings of God and God's grace on this earth as Christians, we need to walk with God. And that's not sometimes, that's all the time. The Lord said in 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. Well, God just described a whole bunch of Christians right there, didn't he? They're walking in darkness. We cannot walk in darkness and have great fellowship with the Lord. And that walk in this world begins with attending and going and belonging to one of the Lord's churches. Families get broken up. I don't know, most children today in our society grow up with a broken home. Most of them grow up with divorced parents. Parents that hate each other. Families of their own sides, of their both sides, debate, argue, and hate each other. Oh, we're all Christians. That ain't the way the Lord told us to be. He said to love one another. Do you not? But if we say that we have fellowship with God and we walk in darkness, we're liars. We're not walking with God. Enoch and Noah and Abraham and many others in Scripture walked with God. They did not fall. They did not fail. They stood up. They never stumbled. That's the only way you can be complete. If you do stumble, you get right back up and you keep going. That's how you complete. And do not the truth, the Lord said. Verse 7, if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Because we're walking in the light because Jesus Christ saved us to start with. He washed our sins away, and therefore we can walk in the light. And that light begins with the truth of his word. With the truth of his word. In the New Testament, while it is worded slightly different in its same meaning, if you go to Romans chapter 8, verse 4, Paul wrote these words, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Walking after the Spirit is the same thing as walking with the Lord, as walking before the Lord. What Abraham, Enoch, and Noah, and many others did in the Bible is exactly what we're supposed to be doing as Christians. What Paul wrote to the Lord's churches in the Scriptures is what we're supposed to be doing in the churches. And if we fail and we say that we're walking in step with the Lord and we are not, we are lying. Christians and churches must be faithful to the Word of God. They must walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is walking in the Word of God, lockstep with what God says. If you do, your life will be a whole lot better. You know how men and women are married? And I have a little bit of experience in this. I know Rebecca and I have only been married a few years. But Don and I were married 39 years, right at 40. Two months shy of 40 years. You have to love each other. You have to be faithful to each other. You have to walk in the Word of God together in lockstep. That's the way we are with the Lord. That's how we stay with the Lord. That's how we are walking with God. We're walking hand in hand in the Word of God with Him. You can't be doing the things of this world. Expect God to keep blessing you. He's always going to bless us, but extra blessings are deserved, like getting called away without dying. Like God putting you on a ship. The only ones allowed on that ship was Noah and his family because Noah walked with God. Which tells you pretty much everybody else wasn't. Walking after the Spirit is walking with God. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I had a long introduction. That's the reason I had to hurry. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. In verse 1, he says, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you, listen, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. The word vocation means invitation or calling. In other words, you walk worthy of your calling that God called you to. If God called you as a Christian, walk as a Christian, live as a Christian, lead your life as a Christian. If God has called you into the church to be part of the church, be part of the Lord's church. Be active. Do things. If you got a talent, use it for the Lord. God didn't give us things not to use to glorify Him. Everything we do as Christians is supposed to bring glory unto the Lord. That's what you call walking with God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Seeing that you walk uncomfortably, and I know I mispronounce it, not as fools, but wise. Uncomfortably means diligently, exactly, or perfectly. In the Spirit, therefore, walk with God in the Spirit and in the Word of God. God has called you to be His child, to be a church member, to be a servant of God, to walk in the Lord and walk with Him, walk before Him, walk behind Him. It doesn't matter. Just walk in the Word. Second Corinthians chapter 5. This will be our last scripture before we get into our text. Walking with God also means we are walking in faith, not in sight. He says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. That's the problem with a lot of Christians today, isn't it? Isn't it? They walk in sight instead of faith. They say, oh me, oh my, what am I going to do? I'm sorry, but don't you believe in God? It's like when they were on the ship with Jesus, and Jesus is downstairs sleeping, and the winds got up, and the ship started swerving and doing all kinds of nasty stuff. And they went down and woke up the Lord. The Lord says, oh, ye of little faith. Do we trust the Lord or not? We don't have to work so hard we cannot attend church. Then we don't take time to pray together. That we don't take time to study His Word. And we don't take time to learn. When we stop doing these things, we start falling away from our walk with the Lord. And then we say, well, we're still walking with the Lord. And that's where the Lord said, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, you're lying to yourself. And he didn't lie to himself. Noah didn't lie to himself. Abraham didn't lie to himself. Others didn't lie to themselves in the scriptures. And neither should we. Convince ourselves that we're still walking with the Lord. First, and I don't have a lot left. I know it sounds like it, but I don't. First, we must be a child of God. We must have a living spirit to walk with God. That's the first thing. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because he's spiritually discerned. The natural man doesn't have the ability to walk with God. He's in enmity with God. Why would he want to walk with God? He walked with the God of his imagination. Their God is like the God of those on the ship with Jonah. When God finally did convince them through the waves and through the storms before they threw Jonah off, hey, I'm the Lord thy God. Then you come to understand, don't you? That's the God you walk with. The God you walk with is the God that saved you by His grace. The God that sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, this world, to give His life on that cross for your sins. Let's go to Acts chapter 16. Second, God must open the heart of our understanding. Acts chapter 16, verse 14 says, And a certain woman named Lydia, the seller of purple, in the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us. Listen, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attained unto the things which were spoken of Paul. God opened her heart. God opened her heart by quickening her spirit. God opened her heart with the ability to be able to hear what Paul was saying. You know, you're blessed this morning. If you're listening to this message, you understand what I'm talking about. You're blessed. Many people in this world don't like it. They don't like what we say. They hate what we say. They hate what we preach. So they turn us off. They put the link on Facebook. Not to notify them when we say anything anymore. They blame me for what God says. Well, you're saying it different than God. I just told you what God said. I just read it to you. I just put it on Facebook. I just read it in my text. I just preached it in the pulpit. And now you're blaming me. That's not walking with God, is it? when you deny the Word of God? Well, you're sugarcoating it. You're doing this. I just read the Scripture. I never forget a man I grew up with in Sulphur Springs, who's a Pentecostal preacher today. He was my friend on Facebook, and every time I put something on Facebook, he'd come up there and put something hateful about it. So I just told him, I said, "Hey, man, why don't you just unfriend me?" I said, "I love you and everything, but I can tell that we're just not going to be friends." I put the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15 and on Facebook, and they said I was sugarcoating the gospel. If you put the Scripture on Facebook, how in the world are you sugarcoating it? It didn't go along with what he thought. You got to listen to God, folks. Don't listen to your past. Don't listen to those around you. Don't listen to those who have taught you in the past. You are learning. You are growing. If you're saved, you need to learn the Scripture. Whose heart the Lord opened? She didn't open her own heart. The Lord opened it, didn't he? You didn't quicken your own spirit to be saved. The Holy Spirit did, didn't he? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "Even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace you're saved." Holy Spirit quickened us. A dead person can't make themselves alive. Going up that cemetery there, the word dead means corpse dead. That means dead, dead. That's as dead as Adam was before God breathed life into him. There was no soul there, no spirit there. Most people have a soul, they have no living spirit. Their spirit was killed in sin, died in sin. Second, to walk with God implies walking in harmony with God. Not debating God, not saying, "Oh, that's not what that says. No, no, you're sugarcoating it. You're reading things into it that ain't there." Like, "For by grace you're saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works." I mean, really, can that get any plainer? Can you say it any other way to make it more plain than that? Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 25, he says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Folks, what did he just say? Did you hear what God just said? If you are walking in the Spirit, if you are walking in the Word of God, if you are walking with God, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That simple. You know what sin is like? Sin is like being a drug addict. Sin is like being an alcoholic. We can't resist it. To walk disobedient to God, disobedient to God, is natural. Just naturally, and we can't allow ourselves to fall back into that. And we're walking in the Lord. We will not. We will be walking with God, won't we? Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, if we walk in the Spirit, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It's that simple. It's not simple. It's hard, isn't it? We fight the flesh, don't we? Like Paul says, I'm having a war within myself. I know I'm supposed to do this, but I want to do that. Why do you want to do that if you know you're supposed to do this? Because your nature, your old nature, is telling you to do this against God, to not walk with God. If you're not walking with God, it's best just to say, I'm not walking with God. Don't lie to yourself. Ah, I'll never come to you again. You just said a lie to myself. No, God said you lie. Amos. You might want to just write this one down if you don't know where Amos is, because I'm going to run over with it. Amos chapter 3, verse 3, can two walk together except they agree? Think about that. Can two walk together unless they agree? No. You know what makes a husband and wife successful? Is they walk together as one. The Lord said, leave your father and mother and walk with your husband. Walk with your wife. Have great respect for them, because that's your life partner on this earth. Say, unless I get divorced. Divorces are not options. Sometimes they happen. I'm not condemning them, but I certainly don't recommend them. Marriage is supposed to be for life. And we had to sacrifice one another to walk together. Same thing with God. If we're going to walk with God, we have to walk with Him. Walk before Him, walk after Him, walk beside Him. And that is, we agree with the Lord. God's not going to agree with you if you disagree with Him. Don't ever think God's going to come over your side. He's not. Don't ever think if you fall into the pit of sin, God's going to fall in there with you. He's not. Walking with the Lord is walking in step with the Lord. See where I'm at. John chapter 14. I'm going to go quick. I'm almost done. I know you think pastor's going to be preaching over again. No, I don't. I don't preach over. I don't. Well. On occasion. Third, to walk with God is to keep the commandments of God. There they are. You know, if you want to be a doctor or a lawyer or something like that, you pick up these big old books, you know what I mean? Study it. Learn it. If you want to be a good Christian, if you want to walk with God, there it is. Study it. Learn it. Pray that God will teach it to you. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. I am not. I'm simply a man that teaches. I am not God. I cannot make or convince anyone to believe anything. In John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. How much love do you have for the Lord Jesus? Keep his words. And my Father will love him. He will love him. He will love you. He will be gracious unto you. He'll give you many things. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Praise the Lord. I love fellowship with the Lord, don't you? Verse 24. He that loveth me keepeth, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me, Jesus said. The God's word. Keeping the commandments of God is not an option. Yeah, Lord, I'm not going to do that now. No, Lord, no. That's the way we are, isn't it? No, I know, Lord, you said that. I know you said to love one another. But Lord, I find it, if I've heard these words, I find it hard to love them. Let me ask you this. It just came to me out of thin air. How hard is it for God to love us? How hard is it to God to tolerate us? You say, He's God. It doesn't matter that He's God. What matters is we're supposed to be walking in lockstep with the Lord. And that is working hard to do what God tells us to do. Don't matter if it's difficult. Whoever said being a Christian was easy? If we truly want to walk with the Lord, we must walk in His Word. And that is called walking in the Spirit of the Word. Fourth, to walk with God means we are making scriptural progress. We don't have to be perfect, folks. God knows our frame. He knows what we are. We are sinners saved by grace. We still have that sinful nature. God understands. He knows our frame. He knows us. We're not going to be perfect. Not in this life. Not in this world. We're not, but we have to make progress in our walk, in our spiritual life, as in all of life, there's no standing still. We can't stop. You don't stop if you fall down. You get up and you keep going, don't you? For us to accomplish this signifies that some maturity as Christians, as our Christian conscience, has matured. Sorry, I'm trying to hurry. Go to Matthew 11. Growing spiritually solidifies our walk and standing with God, and continuous biblical growth gives us more blessings, more blessings, more blessings, more blessings. Fifth, last of all, to walk with God means we rest. You say, boy, how is that rest? Oh, we rest. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, what the Lord said. Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, I will give you rest. How would you like to live Jesus' life? Do you think we live as horrible as Jesus did? Do you think our suffering and pains and tribulations and persecutions and life is as bad as Jesus? Not even close. All of that He did for us. Can we not sacrifice for Him? He said, come to me, I'll give you rest. We do have rest. If we stumble, we can get back up. If we sin, we can ask God to forgive us. And still walk with God. What a blessing. For harmony comes through obedience. And obedience always gives us rest, doesn't it? Harmony is to be in one accord. How can two walk unless they agree? It makes the most beautiful music together, doesn't it? Don't you love beautiful? You know, beautiful music? I do. That last song we sung, Blessed Church, is one of my most favorites. Of the top five songs of my life, it's probably number one. Number two, somewhere right in that area. It's within the top three of my favorite songs altogether. Blessed assurance. I have that assurance, don't you? Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1, if you will. Music is beautiful, isn't it? Don't you love music? I love music. There's harmony in music because in music there's no self-will. You put a big old, I've been watching some of, the military music where the Army, Navy, and them all get together, and they have these bunch of sergeants up there, you got a staff sergeant, first class, master sergeant. You got all these different sergeants up there. It's been there a long time. And they sing together. Oh, it's beautiful. They don't just sing songs, military songs and things, love of a nation songs. They sing other things, and they sing good. Because they're in harmony. You watch an orchestra. These men come up here and they play for us. Brother O'Neill, Brother Newell, and Brother Hall, and all the rest of them. They come up here, and they all sound beautiful up here together, don't they? You know why? They're in harmony with one another. There's harmony in music because the music is not self-willed. The maestro leads them. I don't know how to do it. I'm not a maestro, but that's what they do. And everybody watches that maestro, don't they? That's how they're locked up. You're not there to do your own will. You're there to do what that maestro is telling you. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, he says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the blood. We're accepted in Christ. And we're supposed to walk in harmony with the Lord. What did I say about the maestro? You watch the maestro, right? When someone's leading singing, I do it occasionally. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know whatever they're doing. Horace used to be a music major. He used to do all this stuff. And I just kind of picked it up, I have no idea what I'm doing. But those that do, you watch them and you sing by them if you know what they're doing. Let me move on. So let's go to our conclusion. Go to Micah chapter 2, if you will. I'll conclude with this. God's always blessed those who have walked with him. Enoch was taken without seeing death. Noah and his family was blessed from the flood because Noah walked with God. Abraham blessed with a son and being the father of many nations because he believed God, even though he didn't believe he could have one in his old age. We cannot walk in darkness if we want to be a blessing to God. We have to walk in step with, we have to watch the Lord. Always watching the Lord. Always watching Jesus. Walking with God is not an option. It's a command for us. God's blessing on them that walk with him is not an enticement, but a command. God's not enticing us. He's ordering us. Failure to do so has its consequences. Listen to God rebuke the priest of Israel for their disobedience in Micah chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. And I'll end with this. Now, O you priest, this commandment is for you, the Lord said. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Oh, wow. I'd like for the Lord to curse our blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, the Lord said, because you do not lay it to heart. The Lord already knew they weren't going to. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung on your faces, even the dung of your Solomon feast. And one shall take you away with it. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, the Lord says, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Do we want to be blessed of God, or do we want dung spread all over our faces? If you don't think the Lord will spread dung all over our face, test him. Like Brother Hammond used to say, you shake your hand in God's face, one of these days you'll bring back a bloody nub. Folks, we're supposed to walk with the Lord. We're servants of God. We're children of God. Those that walk with God, you know who the happiest people on earth is? Christians. Christians, because they're the most blessed. Christians that are walking with the Lord, walking in lockstep, walking together. Let's all stand. Brother Bookout's going to come, lead us in number 203. I believe.